This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Kicking off in our own region with some shocking news out of Tonga. A violent murder of the much-loved and very fierce LGBTI Tongan activist Polly Kefu in just over a week ago. It has shocked the local and international community. I know certainly my social media feeds have been flooded with tributes to him. Local police have confirmed that a 27-year-old man has been charged in relation to the activist's death. He was into absolutely every organisation there, president of the transgender advocacy group, the Tonga Laetus Association, and also very prominent with the Tongan Red Cross, and chairman of the Pacific Protection Gender Inclusion Network. Just one of those real champions of change. Of course, Tonga is a country where homosexuality is still criminalised, but he was always there fighting for things. His body was found on the beach near his home, and police confirmed that the 27-year-old man, he handed himself in, and they've been a little bit tight-lipped as to whether this is being investigated as a hate crime. So we'll keep an eye on how that plays out in
sad
Tonga.
News. Now off to Albania, a little bit more positive here, which is Albania's, while not a government decision, but the Albanian Psychologist Society has organisation have banned so-called conversion therapy. And so the move was hailed on last weekend, and so this means that they say it's particularly important for adolescents, and this is decisions considered final and legally valid. So
so it doesn't actually have to go back into their legislative, you know, assembly, or, you know, it's in force.
Yes, and this comes on the back of quite a lot of data they've looked into regarding the people have experienced such therapy, 8 times more likely to commit suicide, and 6 times more exposed to high levels of depression, all things we know well from other examples of this internationally. So this puts, I believe, Albania at place number 3 in Europe. So
I'm a bit surprised at that, actually.
Yes.
Because I'm surprised that there aren't other countries that have already done it. So Malta,
yep,
is as expected.
Germany only recently there. This month. Yep. But
there's a lot of countries which I would have thought would have already started this process.
I actually, and particularly in the EU, generally a kind of, once that gate comes, whatever you call it, open
crashing
in
down.
Germany, crashing down. Usually in Europe it's pretty quick before the whole 28 members or so start to fall in line, so to speak. So, yeah, it is interesting that it's only third, and especially a country in Southeast Europe that's has its issues with homophobia.
Because so, I think the UK has only banned it for juveniles, for under 16, 18.
Yeah.
Well, kudos to Albania.
So we are now passing over to Japan. So over the past 6 years, activists in Japan have been pressing the national parliament to introduce a non-discrimination law that protects the rights of lesbians, gay, bisexuals and transgender people. Japan currently doesn't have any national legislation that protects LGBT people from discrimination, and a recent survey put them next to last in ranking on laws for LGBT inclusivity.
And of course there's been a real concerted effort to get this done before the Olympics, because the world spotlight is on Japan and trying to really shame the country in this way.
Well, not only that, but the charter for the Olympics, which the Japan signed up to, forbids discrimination of any kind, including sexual orientation.
It's a great example of these huge international events as being a catalyst or driver
for change.
And that's why I think it's so important such events and organisations like the Olympics include these types of criteria, which I think is
an catalyst. And they are working on an act. They are actively discussing this.
So there was one proposed, which the Liberal Democrat Party were going to support, but the ruling party didn't support it, and they put forward an opposing draft bill. But because the Olympics are not that far away, all the political parties have come together and will enact some kind of national anti-discrimination bill before the Games begin.
Although it kind of, at the moment, it looks like they've, you know, the wording in it, because they're trying to rush it through, the wording in it seems to be quite generic. You know, we're going to promote understanding of LGBT people. It's not yet guaranteed that they're going to have harsh, you know, hard anti-discrimination laws in there. So I know certainly some of the rights groups over there are still pushing very hard for something that is, you know, has more substance, more teeth.
Space to watch.
And New Zealand.
So
beating us again.
Yes, good news story here. So New Zealand has going to beset history by, sorry, make history is what I meant to say there, at the Tokyo Olympics, just what we were talking about, by having the first transgender weightlifter, Laurel Hubbard, who's effectively been guaranteed a place in the women's super heavyweight category.
Now, she hasn't actually been named in the team yet, but there's insiders have confirmed that because of where she's been ranking, she will automatically qualify. So there have been some rule changes, which means she's automatically in there. So the announcement will come in July with the rest of the team.
Do you think there's going to be a bit of a controversy?
I'm thinking cat and pigeons, yes.
Okay. It's both the timing, isn't it? Because it's almost like it's like doing it so late, close to the Olympics. It's kind of like, well, just have to go through with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people might see it that way.
She's got the credentials. She's won the world championships in 2017. She then had a big injury, and so she's sort of coming back. But she is almost certain to become the first transgender athlete to compete at an Olympics, and possibly at the same time, the oldest weightlifter at an Olympic Games. So 43?
That's mind-blowing because, I mean, yeah, I know what it's like. Exercising over 40, keeping, you know, maintaining that top level must be quite a challenge when you've got 23-year-olds coming in, you know.
Absolutely, and some changes to the IOC guidelines in November 2015 about athletes who transition from male to female, allowing them to compete in the women's category, look like this will help her achieve that goal. I think that's a wrap.
That is.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.